we're going to learn a very short part of Pardes. Pardes Rimonim is a book by the Ramak. It's a book of Kabbalah. We're not going to learn Kabbalah, don't worry. But over there, he explains in a very interesting way, in my humble opinion, a kind of difficult part of the Gemara, of the Talmud, talking about non-Jews. The Talmud says like this, Omar Rabbi Abahu, said Rabbi Abahu, Omar Kra, there's a verse, there's a pasuk over here. Omad vaimodet eretz, God like stood up, something like that, and he measured the land. Obviously, over here it says shook the earth. Ra vayatr goyim, and he saw, and he made the nations tremble or let them do whatever they wanted. So Rabbi Abahu explains like this. God looked at the seven commandments that God gave them to the non-Jews, since they did not fulfill them. So God said to the Jews, do whatever you want with the non-Jews, who cares? Anyway, they don't fulfill not even the seven things that I told them to do. It sounds from here a terrible thing. You can do whatever you want with non-Jews. Okay, so now let's learn the Pardes. Very interesting. This is not in English, so I'll translate with my perfect English. Over here, he's in the middle of explaining a very Kabbalistic thing, that, which is called Num Sha'are Bina, the 50 portals of understanding. We're not going to learn that. We're not going to understand that. But in the middle of the explanation, he says, look, I have to give you a number of introductions in order to understand the subject. So we're in the middle of the introductions. This is number three, the third introduction he brings in order to explain whatever he wants to explain that we're not going to learn. What's this introduction? Inyan Golus Mitzrayim, the whole thing of exile in Egypt. How did it work? Exile in Egypt. This book was written by the Ramak, Reb Moshe Cordovero, 1500s in Tzfat. Golus Mitzrayim, what's the whole exile in Egypt? Since up until the moment that shone the light of Avram, like when Avram appeared, so to speak, the world changed. Up to that point, God used to give the souls of the most selected people, like righteous people. We're talking about before Avram. So we're talking about, of course, non-Jews. Before Abraham. So God, there were tzaddikim, there were righteous people over there, and there were very selected people, and God used to give them the nishmoisaf, their souls in these selected people. Kikena yaro, because that's what the right thing to do. That means not everybody is a tzaddik. Not everybody is a righteous person. You're not going to have most of the people as righteous persons. That's already Mashiach. So there are a few righteous people, and the rest, you know, we do whatever we can. So that's the same way the world used to be before also. Kim lo ichata Adam arishon, if the first man would not have sinned, haya lo kisenes oir, he would have had a garment of light with an aleph. Oir with aleph means light. Be aleph, he insists. This is written with an aleph. He would have had a garment of light. Parenthesis, interesting. The Talmud says that the Torah, the scroll that Rabbi Meir used to have, where he used to learn and so on, it used to be written kosnois oir with aleph. So Rabbi Meir was already living in this messianic era, whatever. So let's close parenthesis. If Adam Arishon would have not sinned, he would have had a garment of light. The skin would have been light. This indicates to the unity of God, uniqueness of God, because light is connected to its source. So it means like godliness and everything is nice. This is only if man would have not sinned. But when he sinned, and he mixed up holiness with mundane things, and mundane things with holy things, and the Nachash, the serpent, you know, had relationships, whatever, with Chava, with the first woman, and in the Nachash, the serpent gave into her some dirtiness or whatever. Nisareva kodesh behoylech behoylit lekain. So again, the holy things got all mixed up, and first woman gave birth to Cain, her first son. Why was he called Cain? This alludes to kina de mesavusa. This alludes to zealousness, celosy, jealousy, whatever how you say it, jealousy, I think, of impurity. But like Cain was really bad, a bad guy. And the world continued destroying itself, like being worse and worse and worse. Viapas misapesh, he's only alluding to different ideas, but the bread got rotten, like everything went down. Velachen, and therefore, this clothes of the first man who that should have been light, nislabesh koiznes oir, they converted into a garment of skin. Skin, you say in Hebrew, oir, but with ayin. It's just one letter difference. It sounds exactly the same. Oir with aleph means light. Oir with ayin means skin. Okay. So first man sinned instead of light. Now he has a skin, like we have. Sheushivim umois. This skin alludes to the 70 nations. Why? Keminyan ayin shebe oir. Because if you look at the word oir, which means skin, with ayin, the letter ayin sums up to 70. So again, before first man sinned, there was no such a thing as non-Jews. It wasn't even in the idea. The Arizal says this clearly. Probably he learned it from here. This is before the Arizal. This is actually a teacher of the Arizal, but whatever. The Arizal says this clearly. Before man sinned, there was no such a thing as non-Jews. When man sinned, suddenly non-Jews came into the world. And again, the Ramak is alluding this to the word, the letter Ayin, which sums 70, which it's a reference to the 70 nations. Okay. Now, the story continues. It doesn't finish over there. And God did not separate these 70 nations because honoring heavens. He doesn't explain what this means. I don't know what this means, but I suppose that is referring to, it was not a respectable thing for God to have, right at the beginning of the creation, all kinds of different people. So they were all included into the first man. He already had like the potential for 70 nations. Those 70 nations were within him, in his skin, so to speak, oired with ayin. But whatever, because of honoring godliness or whatever that means, God did not separate them. Why? She adain lo izara choir Avram, because yet Avram did not appear, and therefore who could teach the non-Jews Torah? Nobody. So God did not separate the peoples, the nations. They were all included into the first man. Ad doira flaga, until the generation of the separation, the Tower of Babel and that whole story at the end of Parshas Noach, doira flaga. There, there, in that story, after that story, God separated every single nation in the place where they used to should go, the proper place for them. Okay. And God took for him, for his portion, so to speak, Abraham. I don't want any other. The other nations, I don't care about that. I don't want them. I take Abraham. Okay. Shehu oir, because Abraham is light. Oil with Aleph. Avram is light. All right. Veniskan koiznis oil be Aleph. And Avram fixed, so to speak, something in this garment of the first man of or man in general to go back to the Aleph instead of the Ayin. I don't know what this means. Whatever. This is what it says. Veloi tiken gamur. But it wasn't a complete fix. Avram did a part of this fix, but he didn't finish the fix. Because still there was silver mixed with the garbage that the silver comes when you take it out of the earth, and this garbage mixed with silver also. So it was a mixture of good and bad because of the sin of the first man. Shebeina umois, listen to this. Shebeina umois, what does that mean? This was a mix within the non-Jews, the nations, hayu neshamos kedoshos. there were holy souls, non-Jews, holy souls. Ubeina kedusha ayadain zuhama, and within this, the holiness was still dirtiness. So again, what did he say? He said like this: look, first man, if he didn't sin, everything would have been different. Light, godliness, no nations. What does that mean? No nations means everybody that came from Adam Arishon, of course, all the humanity comes from him. Everybody would have understood God and would have lived in a different way. Okay, so that means no Jews and non-Jews, just human beings. Not that there would have been Jews and the non-Jews, they all die. No. Not such a thing. Just whatever. When I call it Jews, call it Jews. When I call it human beings, call it human beings. Just human beings. Okay. But he sinned. Oh, he sinned. And therefore, I'm just summarizing what we just learned. He sinned, and therefore there's a room for non-Jews. 70 nations. All right, 70 nations. And they don't get godliness in the same way that first men used to get godliness. Why? Because first man was oir, was light, and the 70 nations come with oir, with skin, so to speak, that conceals. Until Avram came. When Avram came, he came back with this light, but it didn't finish the job. What does that mean? That still there are souls within the non-Jews covered with some skin. They're holy souls. All right, let's continue. Hine, now. At the beginning, God, so to speak, was smart, and he wanted to purify the holy people. So what does that mean, to purify? When you have like silver, gold, the metal itself, and you put it to a very high fire, and the bad parts come out, and they leave the good parts. So Hashem, God, wanted to purify Avram. So from Avram, he took out Ishmael. That's garbage. And then from Yitzchak, he took Esav. That's also garbage. The Yaakov, however, the third forefather, Yaakov, mitase shleima, tehoir nekiya. His bed, so to speak, was complete, pure, clean. All right. Achar kach, ratza letaer lekaves nitzotzes anidochis. Then, after purifying, quote unquote, the Jewish people, whatever that means, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, after that purification, God wanted to purify and gather all the sparks of holiness that were within the other nations. Because we just said there were holy people within the other nations. So God wanted to include that into the purification. And Nidachos, they were like put out, put away. Because the will of God is that nobody is left outside. Nobody is going to be just out. Even the non-Jews, that's what he's talking about. So therefore, he wanted to do something in order to purify the non-Jews. At least the holy parts of the non-Jews. So what did he do? What did God do? He took the clean silver, and he put it into a thing of metal, of, how do you say this, barzel, iron thing. That means avdus mitzrayim, betoikef haklipa. That means this servants being servants, the Jewish people being servants, the Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, whatever, in Egypt, in the strongest shell, the strongest impurity that there is. So again, what is he saying in different words? He took the children of Israel and he put them in Mitzrayim. Why? Because over there, as we're going to learn, in Mitzrayim, God gathered the other sparks of holiness within the non-Jews. And over there in Egypt, God gathered all the sparks to this enormous amount of silver, clean silver, the children of Israel, whatever, that's what it means. All the other sparks gathered together with these children of Israel. Therefore, there in Egypt, the Jewish people was 210 years. And over there, Nizgalgelu, came back all the generations. Doramabul, the generation of the flood, Shealayim Nemar, on them it's written, That's why Pharaoh wanted to throw all the children in the river. What does that mean? That's referencing, hey, there are people that were thrown in the river, in the waters. Ah, that's the generation of the flood. They were born again, reborn in Egypt, as Jews, reborn in Egypt, or children of Israel, whatever that means. But the Raflaga, also the generation of the separation, Shaleim Neymar, on them it's written, Nil ben alevenim, they wanted to do bricks. Vehem b'mitzrayim Neymar, and the same thing is written by Egypt. You have to build bricks. Oh, so the generation that built bricks was reborn in Egypt building bricks. Okay. So everybody got mixed up again together in Egypt, so to speak. Acheyatza kesef naki, tzaruf naki, menuki mikol sig, shesh meis elef. Add to the point that, so to speak, got created very purified and refined silver, clean of any impurity, 600,000 people. These are the souls, so to speak, that God wanted to refine, including non-Jews. Listen to these words, they're very interesting. It would have been proper not to receive more converts. That's it. Complete purification. Everybody's okay. I don't need any more anything else, says God. Whatever these selected people, selected souls, that some of them were into non-Jews, I gathered them together. These are my souls. That's it. I don't need anybody else, anyone else. That's it. Yalzenemar. On this is written that we just learned in the Talmud, Ravayatar Goim. God saw and he said to the non-Jews, bye bye. That's it. We're talking historically, we're still in Mitzrayim, still in Egypt, okay? We didn't even leave Egypt. And God said, forget it, no converts, no nothing. These are my people, 600,000, that's it. I don't need any more. Upishu Razal, our sages explained on this verse in the Talmud we just learned, Baba Kama 38a, Kesheamdu Israel chule hitelayim sheva mitzvos, when the Jewish people were still in Egypt, God allowed the non-Jews, even those things that were forbidden before, the seven commandments, forget it, do whatever you want. I don't care about you. That's it. I have my people, I have my selection, my portion. Do whatever you want. Because there were no more sparks to refine, just as there will be no more sparks to refine in the days of Mashiach. Like our sages say in the Talmud also, we're not going to receive converts in the days of Mashiach. Okay, whatever that means, it doesn't really matter. The point is, God already gathered before leaving Egypt all the sparks of holiness, and the rest, I don't care. Okay, the Isa, and as it's written, Hashem batad yanchenu, God will lead the Jewish people alone. That's it, no more mixture, no more non-Jews, I don't care. Aval, but the story doesn't finish over there. However, Kilkalnu, we ruined everything. How did we ruin everything? Be'egel, we did a cow over there in the desert. We ruined the things. We ruined everything. Nasalahem keheter, and this was like a permitted thing, like the Jewish people, the non-Jews that were with them, or whatever, whomever left Egypt, we ruined everything, and we did idolatry. We thought it would be permitted, but it was not. I think this is wrong. And the wording is weird, but whatever, maybe some word is not proper, whatever the case, the idea is clear. We had to be reborn again, Gilgul, reincarnation, once and again, constantly, and serve God in the rest of the exiles. It wasn't enough with Egypt. Originally, apparently, that was the idea of God. Egypt was already enough for refinement, but we ruined everything, so now you need more exiles. V'nachzer le'inyan. Let's go back to the thing. desde Ramak. In Egypt, there were 600,000 Jews, on children of Israel, clean of everything. Aval beMitzrayim gavra aleihem klipa. But in Egypt, there was a whole impurity over there, very strong. V'asigim im yoisi kesef tzarov shifte yudkei eitz l'Israel. And this dirtiness of the silver, of the metal itself, even though they were the tribes of God, that were so holy and so what, whatever, im kol zeh nichnesu b'tzach haklipa, they entered the impurity, the shells, the klipa, whatever that means, v'yardu plaim, and we went really down. The children of Israel went really down in Egypt, v'yasigim v'yoyferes, sholat aleihem, and the dirtiness of the metal, and the plomo, I think you call it plomo in Spanish, like it governed over there, over them, until they got into 49 portals of impurity. Over there, in this particular place, the Ramak is talking about this because in this portal he wants to explain the 50 portals of understanding through which the Jewish people went between Egypt and the receiving of the Torah. So that's why he's going into this subject. The Jewish people were sunk really into 49 portals of impurity. Ve'ilu le'nisorer mem tespanim toir nun share bina. And if it wouldn't have been for this, so to speak, awakening of the 49 portals of purity, then 50 portals of understanding, adayin anu b'neinu b'nei b'neinu meshubanim ahinu v'chula. He's quoting the Agada of Pesach, the text we learn in Pesach. We and our children and the children of our children will still be servants in Egypt. So thank God we have these 49 portals and the 50 portals and so on. And that's why it had to be this frightening that God strengthened the heart of Pharaoh, to hitting with this last plague of the death of the firstborns. Uleshaber misloys oil umishenav yashlifterev. He's quoting Eov, which is a very difficult text to translate even to Spanish, so don't expect me to translate it into English. He wanted to break Pharaoh. Basically, that's what it's saying. Vekam Pharaoh laila v'ichiz bnei choydim atem. And Pharaoh went up. He woke up at night, and he said to the Jewish people, "You're free. Lakor is a klipa, leshaber is something called the kol, to bring out the impurity from the Jewish people and to break the impurity completely." Now, when the Jewish people left Egypt, they were not still so clean. As I'm going to explain later. Okay, up to here we're going to read. But what is he saying regarding this piece of Talmud? It's very interesting. Some rabbis want to bring this piece of Talmud in Baba Kama to say, whatever. What do you mean seven commandments? It's like stupid things. Forget it. You see, the Gemara says, the Talmud says, that God already is not even caring about this. He already permitted them to do even the seven things. Forget it. I don't care about you. And the Ramak is saying, you got it wrong. You're not understanding when this happens. This is not something that is happening right now, that God right now doesn't care about the seven commandments for the non-Jews. No, you got it wrong. That was in Egypt. When the Jewish people were still in Egypt and God gathered all the souls of the Jews and non-Jews of that time, all the holy souls he had, and he said, "I don't care about anybody else." That's when he said, "Vayater goyim, I don't care about you, but we ruin everything." So things come back to the original situation, so to speak. God does care. He is expecting service. He is expecting holy sparks of, again, holiness within the non-Jews to get gathered again. So it's a very different explanation of this piece of Talmud that looks not so nice for the non-Jews.